This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What do you think about the weather?
Well, you know, we go from winter to spring to summer, and then by early next week, we'll be back into winter.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. So if you don't enjoy the weather, wait a few minutes, and
it's gonna change.
We'll have another season.
Well, you know, on Friday, I had a client come in the office in shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, I still had a coat on. You know, what is wrong with everybody?
Well, it's semi-summer.
Yeah.
By the time we get to Monday, it's supposed to be back to winter. And I think I've heard by Monday it'll be like 40 and we might see some rain, which means we could see a surprise snowstorm.
Oh, my gosh. Well, whatever. Doesn't sound too good to me. Let's give out the phone number.
Well, let's do that.
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there, find all kind of case studies, data from past investments, testimonials, and things like that. This is all about growing your money so that you can retire soon and quickly and safely.
And happy.
And happy.
If you retire early, you are happy.
Oh, yeah. And you have people that are retiring early all over the place. In fact, if memory serves me right, you had some people retire early at the end of 2016, and you've already got some people who are well on their way this early into 2017.
Well, let me tell you something. I've got people that have come this week. Their company is being sold. I won't tell you which company it is yet till it's actually sold. Uh-huh. But their company has been sold, and they are coming to retire and coming to talk to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they been? They've been with you for a while, then, I assume.
No. They're coming. These are new clients.
Oh, these are new.
These are new clients coming from a company here in town that is being sold out.
So when are they looking to retire?
The next 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and one of my clients works at that company, and she told them about us.
So another referral.
Another referral. And I had another type of referral this week that I wasn't thinking about. You know, y'all have country western, and then you have the regular music on the other channel.
Uh-huh.
And this guy said he was trying to get the music, and he got me on there. And he thought, what is this? This is several months ago. He thought, what is she talking about? Death? What? I mean, what? And he listened to the whole thing. And then he became a listener.
Really?
Yes.
So he found you by accident, and now he's been listening ever since.
He has, and he's on that other channel that uh-huh. y'all've got.
Uh-huh.
So I never even hear about people talk about that. I guess they just hear the music and hear me and don't think anything about it.
Yeah. Well, I know that you've had a lot of people who have been listening to you for a very long time. Some of them have taken action, and then some of them are still on the fence. They're still – because, I mean, investing in life insurance policies is a different form of investing. It falls outside of that normal box of, you know, investing in the stock market and doing the normal thing. So a lot of people are a little hesitant.
Well, and they procrastinate.
Exactly.
It's not just hesitant. They're just – they think about it, I'm going to do it, and they don't do it. They think about it, I'm going to do it, and don't do it.
Yeah.
And men are just that way. Men are procrastinators.
Yep.
Until they decide to get off their duff, they'll just talk about it.
Uh-huh.
So it does happen a lot.
It does.
So we're glad when they do get off and come on in.
Yeah. And what are some of the questions that people ask you? So say you have somebody new who's just now hearing you for the first time. What are some of the things that they might be thinking that you've seen people think before and that you can maybe put their mind at ease?
Well, a gentleman came in this week. He had 2 pages of questions.
Really?
Yes. He had 2 pages.
So he had done his homework. He'd thought this through extensively.
Yes, he had. And he wouldn't talk to anybody else. This is what's funny. He called the office in Dallas, and they said, well, let us help you. He goes, no, I won't talk to Faye. He decided I make the decision, so he wasn't going to talk to anybody else.
Sure.
He wanted to talk to me.
That's brilliant.
And he had lots of questions. And we just took it one at a time, went down each question. He'd check it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out pretty good.
And when the meeting was done, did he fully understand
yes.
the process?
This was his second time there.
Really?
But he came back this week with a two-page questions.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Now, and that's important to point out. When somebody comes to talk to you, it's not like they have to walk in right then and then all of a sudden write a check and then here we go.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
They're going to come and talk to me, go home, talk to their wife. Then the two of them together will make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're going to do it or not. And anyway, he came in, had all these questions, had to go over all those. And then he made a decision because it was his second time.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a wife.
There's no wife at all?
There's no wife.
So there's nobody else that he has to consult with?
No. But himself, he had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I had to work with him, get all those answered, and then we did a deal. Open him up an account.
So generally speaking, how does the whole process work for somebody who's new?
Well, first of all, they've got to make that important appointment. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have to bring over a statement of earnings and assets. They're going to do that. And then if it's a regular account, they're going to have to tell us where it is, this sort of thing. But if it's an IRA or a 401k, they're going to give us a copy of all those papers showing what IRA it's in or what 401k company has it, and whether it's in mutual funds, if it's in stocks, whatever it's in. And then they've got to liquidate that.
Yeah.
So we look at all that and talk about that, you know, during that first deal.
And you also know, you know where their money is, their worth. You make sure, and a lot of this is for their own protection. You make sure that they're not going to need to access this money while it's investing.
That's exactly right. And the people I've had this week, they were okay, and we knew that they had two 401ks.
Oh, yeah.
Plus his wife works, plus he has assets too.
Okay.
So that's what we were looking for, and we had it.
Because when somebody comes and invests in some of these policies, it's not like they can just put it in for a few weeks and then, something came up and I need to get – you cannot –
no,
it's not liquid.
It is not liquid. That's one of your risks. It is not liquid till those people die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a lot of other things. That's one of the risks. The other, the bigger risk to me, is that the premiums could go over.
Yeah.
If it does, you have to pay your share. It's not a lot of money, but you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
And you have to have other money to pay it with.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask them all those questions. How much emergency money do you have? How much other money do you have to live on if you need it? You know, we want to know all the facts. I don't want them coming back and saying, oh, my gosh, I need to take all that money out.
Right.
Because you can't get it out.
Well, you know, and not knowing and not being prepared and not having enough funds enough different areas to live on, it doesn't do anybody any good.
No,
you're not
it
just out to take somebody's money and then see you. I mean, the reason you have a lot of referrals is because you've done this responsibly. You look out for your clients and make sure that they're not going to be in trouble at some
point. That's right. You have to protect them from themselves.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, a lot of people don't do it, and we have to.
Yeah.
So, you know, we document all this,
mm-hmm.
make sure, you know, we've got documentation showing if we're worried about it, you know, how much assets they really have,
yeah.
how much income they really have, and then how much emergency money they have.
Yeah.
And most of them have a 401k. So you can look right there and you know almost the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they may have some real estate, they may have some oil and gas leases, you know, whatever, but that's going to show up somewhere.
And just to get it out of the way, for those that are wondering, what is the minimum to get started investing?
It's $100,000.
Okay. So you go through, you look at all their assets and everything, and then you start showing them policies. Now, these life insurance policies come from people who need to sell their policy. They make these decisions on their own. Nobody's come in and taken anything away. This is something that they need to do.
Well, they need the cash. Let's face it. If you have cancer and you're not wealthy, you're going to need some cash because most of the people that we deal with have already had to quit their jobs.
Yeah.
So they need income until they do pass away.
Yeah.
And remember, we're buying stage 4 life insurance policies. So the cancer is stage four. If it's not, we're not going to buy it.
So these are not just elderly people who have policies that are sort of fine, but they're getting up there in years. Not that at all.
No, we're not going to do any elderly people ever, ever, ever.
You did that a long time ago.
I did, and we're still got one of those out.
Yeah.
I thought we had them all gone. We'd still have one.
And when that's done.
We're done.
That's it.
And when I hear people talk about those, I just turn the other way.
Yep.
Because we do not want an older person, because they're not sick, they're just old.
So the policyholder decides, okay, I've got stage four cancer. I need to sell this policy. I need the funds for whatever reason, whether it's treatment or whatever the case may be.
Settle with their children sometimes.
Settle with the children.
Yes.
So then what happens? They go and they who do they sell the policy to?
To one of our licensed providers. Mm-hmm. The licensed provider, they don't actually sell it to them. They go through them to us.
Okay.
Okay. They're actually selling it to us through our licensed provider.
All right. So they go and then you have a number of policies that you bid on.
Yes. And we've got about 14, 15 million out right now in bids.
Wow.
But we also have bought about 9 million that we're just waiting on the paperwork to get here.
And when will those be ready to invest in?
I guess next week. I believe next week those will be ready.
Okay.
We've already got a lot ready that we're investing in this week, mm-hmm. but the rest of them I think will be in next week.
So do you have open policies right now?
Uh-huh. Yes, we do.
All right.
We've got quite a few.
So when somebody comes to you and they say, okay, I would like to invest in one of these policies,
uh-huh.
what happens? Do you show them like 5 or 10 and say,
No.
How does that work?
We whichever one we're doing that week is one we give them.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, like this $4 million one, we've got 40 people in that already.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, 40 people.
That's an awful lot of people.
I know, but it takes a lot. It depends how much you're going to put in per person.
And these people are going to make a lot of money.
Well, of course they will. They always do.
So you look at these policies, and in general, they're 24 months.
Yes, average is about 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
The average income, I think, is about 23% right now.
Okay.
So when they see this, we say, okay, we have bought this policy. This is the policy this week that we're putting everybody in. Do you want in it?
Okay.
And so we've already sent them that email, and then we send them the health on those people, the report. And if it, remember, if it's a million or more, we've got 2 reports. If it's less, it'll be 1.
Okay. So say you've got, just for simple math, say you've got $1 million policy, how many people generally will fill that policy as far as investing?
Usually 8 or 10 people.
Okay, so then how many people do you have total that get this email?
Just the ones we want to go in it. In other words, before we send it out, we've already figured out. We think these 10 people or these 8 people would be good for that policy. So those are the ones we specifically email.
Okay, so you don't have a policy come up and it's ready to invest in, and then you send an email out to 600 people and the first 8. It's not like that at all.
No, no, no. We just send it to the ones we think would be good for that policy.
Gotcha.
And if they all say yes, we're through.
Right.
If somebody says, oh, I don't like that policy, then we have to get another person to fill that.
And then why, generally speaking, why would somebody not like a policy?
They don't understand it.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people think they're very, very intelligent.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes policies they don't understand. Like this last week, one of our clients said no on this big policy that we've got 40 people in. His excuse was, how could anybody buy a policy that big for $4.5 million? Just didn't think it was right.
Oh.
And we go, what is he talking about? And we told him, we said, this man has had this policy for 8 years. You know, he didn't just run out and buy this.
Yeah.
But he just didn't like that policy because it was big. And he didn't think anybody could legitimately buy that big a policy.
Now, at the end of 2016, you had a couple of really big policies.
We did. We had one that was $11 million, and we had another that was $6 million that came in.
Wow.
Yeah. So when people say they don't understand that, they just don't understand how life insurance works. If you're an executive, you're going to buy a large policy to cover your assets, because when you die, there's going to be probate unless you have a trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to cost a lot of money. And the way to keep from that cost is have a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Then the other people, they need it because of the medical expenses. But lots of times the man on the street doesn't understand all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, by the time you have policies ready for people to invest in, you've already gone through them. So when somebody says, I don't like it, a lot of times you know everything about the policy holder. And if it's on your desk for somebody to invest in, it's pretty much cleared as, hey, this is a good policy.
It is. It's already cleared. And they know that I want them to go in it, but they're not thinking about that.
Yeah.
If they were, they'd say, Faith said this is a good policy. I was talking to my secretary this week about it. She said most of them that call in say, did Faith recommend it? She said, sure she did. And then we'll go in it.
So people, a lot of times, people who have done business with you before just go in on these policies based on your recommendation.
Right. Yes.
They don't always go through the entire process and look at the, so, okay, Faith says it's good, then it's good. I'm in.
That's right.
That's fantastic. You know, I tell you, that says an awful lot about how you do business and the success that you've had over the last 15 or 16 years with as many clients as you've had.
That's right. And, you know, we had $27 million mature in 16.
Wow.
That's how many maturities we had.
$26
million? $27
million. $27
million. Yes, in maturities.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's an awful lot of money.
And since then, we've had 5 maturities this month.
Just in February.
The end of January and the 1st of February.
Wow.
5 of them.
That's early. That's early for this time of year.
It is. So if things keep going this way, it should be a fabulous year.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and we're talking about all these maturities that you had last year. People can actually go on the website and see all this.
They could see every maturity we had. They can see if it came in on time, if it was early, if it was late.
Yeah.
Okay? And those are all important factors.
Sure. I mean, the historical data, it's critical when making a decision because we're talking about a lot of money.
That's right. We're always talking about a lot of money. And we've got like $25 million right now to invest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're working every day to get all this money invested and get it out to the clients.
So when you present these policies to people, we're talking about how you know everything about the policyholder, what condition they're in, what they've already tried, what the doctors are saying. What kinds of information exactly do you have?
Well, we have everything from the doctor, the oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells us when they first discovered it, how it came about, if they did a resection, which means surgery, if they were able to do that, and everything that happened after the surgery. Did it keep coming back? You know, where did it go? What happened? And they know all this. And so we give them all that information.
And there's certain things that you look for. There's certain types of cancers. There are certain things like if something goes into remission, how does that affect?
That's right. If
decision?
It goes in remission, we're not buying it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But let's say that they had it first in maybe 12,
mm-hmm.
and they think they've got it all. But when we look at it, it shows it's come back with force.
Mm-hmm.
So now we really want to buy it because the second go around is not going to be very good.
I know that you've, I know you've got an example of this, but I know that there's been times in the past where you've looked at a policy and people have been a little bit hesitant, others to bid on it. And then you look at these and you see something in there that people don't. And this is all based on experience. You know what to look for. What types of things, I mean, I'm sure that's happened in the past.
Well, and the ones I've picked that everybody else said no, they had weight loss. It was already in the lymph nodes, and it was already like in the skeleton of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not looking at that. If it's already there, you're not going to make it, let me tell you.
Yeah. What kinds of things are other people looking for? I mean, it seems when you say it, it seems very obvious that, hey.
To me, it would be.
Of course, yeah.
And then look at what kind of pain medicine. Are they on oxycodone? You know, heroin? What have they got them on that the pain is that bad?
So the stronger the medicine.
If they're on the high doses of oxycodone, you know that they're not going to make it. They're in so much pain. You know that cancer is spreading every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not on that and they haven't had any weight loss, they're probably not a good policy.
Now, I know you've seen policies in the past where people have gone to try experimental things.
Oh, yes.
They've gone, you know, tried alternative therapies, like, you know, go down to Mexico or whatever.
Yeah.
How does that play into your decision?
Well, if they're doing alternate, I'm not going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not doing the regular medications. I said I am going to buy it, not I'm not. Because they're not going to last very long.
Yeah. What about the experiments? It seems like, because, and not being an expert in the field, it seems like if there are, you know, experimental trials, it might be a little bit risky.
It is
but
risky.
You think that maybe these are good or bad policies to invest in?
Well, if they're on medical trials, they're going to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
Not any doubt about it. And sometimes the trials last a year. You know, different amounts of time. And if they're not dead or cured by the end of that, you know, they're probably going to last another year.
Okay.
So trials are good for them and not real good for us because they can stay on that trial for a long time.
And these are medicines that they feel like will be effective, not just like a sugar pill or something.
Well, they feel like they might have a chance. It hadn't been approved by the FDA yet, so that's why it's a trial drug.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try to see if it will do something for the cancer. And sometimes it will short term, and sometimes it doesn't. So there's a lot of risk both ways.
Is all this on page 14?
No.
What is page
14? Page 14 has got a lot of information. Tells you who the people are, what kind of cancer they've got, what life insurance companies on the paper, tells you what we've escrowed for premiums, how much they're going to make, how much they put up, and if it goes over, what the premium will be.
I think it's also worth noting that there are a lot of policies, and this is how confident you are in your ability to spot things in these policies for people to invest in. A lot of times, if there's a space, you will put your own money and invest in these policies as well.
Yes, I wish there was always more room, but there's not. Everybody wants every bit of those dadgum policies.
Sure,
yeah. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
No, it is a good thing for them.
Well, I mean, it speaks a lot because, you know, sometimes you go places and whatever the industry is or whatever the business is, you know, a lot of times people will say do this, but they won't do it themselves. And I think it says an awful lot that you, it really, in essence, put your money where your mouth is.
Oh, yes. And then they'll come back and they'll say, oh, we need that $150,000. You know, I told the story where back in the winter I put $150,000 in a policy.
Uh-huh.
Well, they needed it.
Uh-huh.
So mine came out and theirs went in.
Oh, man.
And then it gets worse. The people rescinded.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. If that thing had went on, it was a short policy, let me tell you.
Really?
Yeah. So we would have made a ton of money.
And in a hurry, too.
And in a hurry.
So in general, these policies generally last, in theory, 24 months. But a lot of them do come in early.
They do. If you look at our website, we should have printed one out. But when you go to the website, it shows how many. Last year, I think there was 5 that came in 10 months.
That's incredible.
I believe there's 5 of them.
That's less than half of the expected time.
I know. And that's why I was so impressed by it. I really was.
So what happens when somebody, when a policy does come in early? Do a lot of people take that that payout and then reinvest it in
well,
other
certainly,
policies?
Yes. Uh-huh. We just roll it over to some new policies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people made a lot of money last year.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330.
And this is really all about investing your money so you can go ahead and retire early. And it's a much safer environment than the stock market.
I think it is. The stock market goes up and down, and people lose a lot of money sometimes. And this, you know how much you're going to make going in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the risks are. And the risks seem to me like they're smaller than in the stock market.
Sure. There are people who have still not recovered from 2008, 2009, But investing in life insurance policies has absolutely nothing to do with the stock market, which can be affected by all kinds of things. It can be affected by things going on here, the economy, things going on overseas, around the world, things that are completely out of your hands, and it's really built on a house of cards. And this has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
That's right, and it has nothing to do with the infighting in Washington.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have a lot of that.
Yes.
I never thought I'd live to see all this. It's horrible.
There's a lot of drama.
The drama is so much. Wow.
Yeah.
Policies don't have all that drama. When you have a life insurance policy, it's a good asset.
Yeah.
And you can sell that asset for money.
Yeah. And basically what your investors do, they come, they invest, and this is obviously in simple terms, but they invest and then they just sit back and wait.
That's right. It's a passive investment. You don't have to be up worrying about it all the time. You don't have to get up at midnight and check the price of it.
That is stressful.
It is stressful.
And sometimes the conditions that go along with it, like all the worry, all the anxiety, all the sleepless nights, sometimes it's not always worth what you may make. Assuming you make anything.
That's right.
So when somebody comes to invest in a life insurance policy, what kinds of things do they need to get ready for?
Well, we ask them to bring a copy of their statements, where we'll know how much money they have. We'll know what their assets are. We'll know what they have to invest and what they're making every year. You've got to ask them, mm-hmm. How much are you making? The law requires it. Government requires that and how much they're worth.
So I know we're talking about risks being relatively short or less than the stock market.
Uh-huh.
What are some of those risks? Obviously, we talk about policies going over, but what else?
Well, if a life insurance company ever went broke,
mm-hmm.
and we've never had one go broke, if it ever went broke, you'd have to rely on the Texas Guarantee Fund for your money. But we never have had one go broke. Everybody's always gotten paid by the insurance companies, or if an insurance company became insolvent, someone else bought it.
Mm-hmm. And then those people, if something were like that to happen, then what would be the worst things that could, because it seems to me like the risks involved with investing in life insurance policies are minimal compared to the risk.
I think it's a lot less, yes.
But it's almost like we shouldn't really even be saying risk because it's... They're not that critical.
Well, and the other thing with a life insurance plan, the risk is not real great if a company went broke because mm-hmm. they all have to put up reserves. And even if they went broke, the reserves can't be touched.
Really?
Oh, no, not in a life insurance company. So all of the reserves are there, and which would cover you.
So the risks are really – they're risks, but they're not really devastating types of risks.
No, they're not that big.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It does help them a lot.
I don't know why everybody doesn't do this.
A lot of people are doing it. Oh, my gosh.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Once again, the phone number.
877-588-3330.
And the website, obviously, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia. And you told me when you first walked in the door, you said, I have got some exciting trivia, and so I've been waiting to hear what we're going to talk about.
Well, do you remember ZZ Top?
I love ZZ Top.
I knew today you would know who I was talking about.
Most of the time, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I know.
But I love this.
I thought you would like it. What do you know about ZZ Top, the band?
Oh, I know they're from Texas. I know there's three people.
There's three people.
I know the one guy named Frank Beard is the only one in the group that doesn't have a beard.
Okay.
And they're not very tall.
Okay. Billy Gibbons is one who really started, if you uh-huh. remember. What do you know about Billy Gibbons?
He's short.
No, that's not going to get it.
That's not going to get it.
No. He came from a well-to-do family. All these kids did.
Really?
Yes. Nobody would have ever believed it. He came from a wealthy family, and they lived in Tanglewood outside of Houston.
Oh.
Yeah, very wealthy family. And, here they all had beards. They were haggard-looking. They were reclusive, mystique about them. Nobody knew. But they were hard-nosed businessmen. Nobody ever knew all this.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, the beards, all of this was just, what do you call it? make-believe.
Really?
Yeah, to make people think they were rough, tough old boys.
That's what I bought that hook, line, and sinker.
No, they weren't. They came from well-to-do families.
Wow.
Yes. And Frank Beard and Billy Gibbons, Beard wanted to introduce him to Dusty Hall. They were in a bar. And the story goes, Hill passed out drunk before ever returning Beard's greeting. That's how rough these old boys were. And then Gibbons, growing up in a well-to-do family, he didn't know anything about R&B music. How did he learn it?
Oh.
The family's maid was a black lady, and she taught him R&B music.
Really?
Can you believe this?
Wow. This seems this is not at all
this
what I would
This is not what you thought, is it?
No.
I knew you were going to be shocked. But she's the one who taught it to him. Then his manager was a Waxahachie native named Bill Mack Ham. And he was his manager. And they met at the Doors concert in Houston in 1967. So then they opened up the Doors Texas Tour and started touring. And then when Jimi Hendrix was on the Tonight Show, he told Johnny Carson, he said, Gibbons is my favorite musician.
Really? From Jimi Hendrix?
From Jimi Hendrix.
That's quite a compliment.
That was it really was. And then the name became one or more of the following. And everybody said, well, how'd you get to the name? You're not going to believe this. It was either two brands of rolling paper. It was Zig Zag and Top, or a tribute to blues legend ZZ Hill. And, or Gibbons sing the two words running together in a dilapidated billboard. That's how they came up with his dadgum name.
Are you serious?
Their albums, one of the famous ones was the Ombres in 73, and then LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
About the whorehouse in Texas.
One of the biggest songs they've got.
It is. And wow. Made them a lot of money. By 1991, they had sold over 50 million records.
Really?
50 million.
Wow.
I've never known anyone that sold 50 million.
No, that's a lot of records.
And then they wanted to be like Willie Nelson, like Willie Nelson Picnic. So they went to Austin, to the University of Texas, the Memorial Stadium, and they put on a performance. They had 80,000 people there.
Really?
80,000. And that was when it became that it was bigger than just a Texas band.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thought it was just a little Texas band. Then they went on a tour, and they used stage props. This is pretty cute. They used haystacks, ranch tools, and longhorn cattle.
You see? Oh,
yes. And they were doing songs from Tres Hombres and Fandango.
Uh-huh.
And that was their fourth album. And by this time, it says they had made millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
And they took a little break and didn't sing for 3 years.
Really?
This is what those boys were all about.
They can just go ahead and take a break anytime and not even
they didn't
bat
care.
An eye.
Yeah, didn't care. They had sold millions and millions of records, and they said, we're tired. And they just disappeared off the planet for 3 years.
They just stopped.
Stopped, did what they wanted to. Their next two albums were De Goello and El Loco. I don't know if you remember them.
I don't.
And that was hits like Cheap Sunglasses and Tube Snake Boogie.
Oh, I remember that.
Tube Snake Boogie. And then they got into synthesizers, and that's what really made them.
This is in the 80s.
Yes. And then they got sued by all these people.
Sued?
Oh, yeah. Ham worked to cover up his contributions to the next album. But anyway, they settled a legal battle with this guy named Hudson. They had to give him $600,000 for copyrights. They used several people's stuff that was copyrighted.
Really?
And it cost them. They had several big lawsuits over it. And then they would not go on TV. refused all TV appearances. Can you imagine?
Why?
I don't know. I think it was just, I think they were shy in reality is why they had the beards in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they really were. And their first video, Give Me All Your Love, and Sharp Dressed Man, that made them famous for the mystique and the popularity. It was an all-time high when they did all this
stuff. Oh, yeah.
You know? And then some of these civic leaders decided this was a work of art and all this, and they got behind them, put up all this money for them, which I thought was pretty funny. And it was called The Orange Show. And it was an open-air, sculptured deal dedicated to orange.
Dedicated to the color orange?
Yes. And the leading example of art was called Folk Art Environment.
Okay.
Yes. And for their support of the blues and art, the band was given a piece of wood from Muddy Waters Shack in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Now that's cool.
It's really interesting. They had it made into a guitar and named it Muddy Wood.
Really?
Yes. They sent it on a tour to raise funds for the Delta Blues musicians.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Now, Ham, his wife was murdered.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. His wife, I don't know where she was driving, but she was driving in her car, and there was this convict that had been let out. Been convicted three times, and apparently she gave him a ride. He murdered her because he didn't want to walk down to the halfway house.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Ham's wife was actually murdered.
Wow.
So, but this is the most interesting group. Nobody would ever believe they were really respectable young men from Houston, Texas.
I would have had no idea that they were from wealthy families or...
They were. And... the interesting thing about these guys, you know, is they weren't looking for stardom, really.
Yeah.
There was just three of them.
Yeah, they make an awful lot of sound for three people.
They really do. And it's amazing that they stayed with these beards and all this and were hiding behind them, you know.
Yeah.
But over 50 million records. Said they made millions and millions, but they said, we're tired. We need to take a break.
Wow. And another thing that's kind of fascinating to me is that, as far as I know, none of them decided to go out on their own and do their own solo project. Because a lot of times it happens.
It does, and they'll change, but these guys did not do that. They liked each other. They stayed together. And, you know, their band, to start with, might have had somebody else in it, but they never talk about it or mention that.
Yeah.
Just that they, you know, formed this little band, and my gosh, they were good. Who would have thought these kids on these guitars could have done all this?
Yeah, really.
You know, a lot of guys start out and they don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And these did. Straight up the charts.
You know, we're talking about their first video, Give Me All My Love, or Your Lovin'.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one. Is that the one where they made famous the little, you know, the two fingers and you swirl it around in a circle? And I mean, that became their thing. I mean, it became an iconic symbol of ZZ Top.
Yeah. And I loved it when they went to Austin to University of Texas Stadium and had 80,000 people there.
That's incredible.
See, I can't imagine that they were that big. Yeah. And that's what took them out of just a Texas band.
Oh, yeah.
Because all this time, everybody just said they're this little Texas band,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then they became international and, you know, became so famous. And Ham, Waxahachie, Texas, was their manager.
Yeah.
They didn't have some big name.
No.
Just somebody from Waxahachie.
Yeah, and he clearly did a good job.
He did a very good job because their records were very, very successful.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the label was on them. I don't remember.
I don't either. I want to guess Atlantic, but I'm just guessing.
And you know that the lead guy, Gibbons, never did marry.
Is he not married?
I couldn't find any record where he had ever been married.
Really?
Yeah. The other two were, and one of them had twins and another little girl. And, of course, all their kids went to college. That's what's so hilarious.
So it so doesn't fit their image. It's hard to comprehend.
It is. And, you know, here they wanted to look haggard and wear beards and look like rough old boys.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
You know, and I met Billy Gibbons probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. And I was surprised when he walked in at how small, because you know when you see them, they're usually filmed, you know, down, and the camera is angled up to make them look bigger. This was a very short man. He was very small. I mean, his beard was bigger than his body.
Well, yes, their beards are so long. It's just amazing how long the beards really are.
Yeah.
But as I said, Billy Gibbons never did marry, as far as I can tell.
Amazing. ZZ Top, what a great story. Great band.
I thought you'd enjoy that this morning. And it was somebody I knew you'd know who they were.
I did. That's the first time that I've known what you're talking about before you're talking about it. Although I didn't know any of the history, which is fascinating.
It is to think that these guys were just good old boys from Houston, but they were well educated.
Love to see Texas people make it big and around the world.
Texans seem to make it bigger than anybody else.
They do, of course.
And if you ever look up everybody from Texas, it's just amazing who's from here.
Yeah.
You know, not only do we have astronauts, we've got singers, famous painters.
Yep.
Everybody in the world
is
from Texas.
A little bit of everything.
That's right. I think their work ethic is so great here.
Oh, yeah.
That they make it. In spite of the climate and how hard it is.
Well, there's something to be said about the character of a true Texan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think their character is so much better than if you were in New Jersey.
Yeah. This is true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And, another thing about ZZ Top, my secretary this week, I said, well, everybody know who that is. She said, everybody will know who ZZ Top is.
Yeah.
If you're from Texas, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. They're legendary.
They are legendary.
Fantastic. Your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and this is all about investing so that you can retire early. I know you've got a number of people who have retired late last year, early this year. A lot of other clients have retired as well based on investing with you. So what does somebody need to do if they want to start? Say they haven't started saving for retirement.
Well, they need to, first of all, get over there, talk to us, let us look at their portfolio, look at what they're doing, you know? And I would assume that if they're coming to see us, they're tired of the stock market. They're tired of the up and down of it. And, you know, we've already had somebody lost a lot of money in the gold market.
Oh, yeah.
The guy lost $40,000. His wife almost divorced him. She sent him to me.
Wow. And you turned things around and saved
his
marriage.
Yes, we told him around and said, get out. Bring it over before you lose any more.
Yeah, really.
I cannot imagine losing $40,000.
No.
But, you know, people like the lure of it.
Well, sure. These all, you know, shiny, sexy things.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah.
And so they get to wanting it, and they'll buy it, and then they don't realize you've got all your fees up front, then you've got fees in the back. When you sell it, you've got more fees.
Yeah, you don't have surprise fees. In fact, the fees for investing are very, very low.
They really are. $250 to
That's
set
it.
Up an account. Yes, $250 every year. And, you know, I had someone complain about it once, and I said, well, if it's a burden, I guess we could help you with it.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there any point where it's too late to start? Have you ever
yes.
said, don't come in, it's too late?
When you don't have any money.
Well, yeah, all right.
I mean, I've had people that had very, very little. They thought they wanted to come into it, and I said, no.
Yeah.
You don't have enough. And the other thing is, let's say you're 80. Unless your children are doing it with you, it's too late.
Yeah.
We would require your children to do it with you.
And a lot of times that happens, especially lately. It seems like I've heard more stories about families getting their children involved, even young children, like in their teens.
Oh, yes. We've got several families that they've brought everybody in.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fantastic. All right. So if it's time to get out of the stock market, it's time to start growing your money, and if you're serious about it, this is the time to call. The phone number one last time.
It's 877-588-3330.
Thank you, Faye.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.